Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, May the 29th, 150th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 4th District, Virginia Bass.
How are you?
I don't know. Do you?
Do I know how you are?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go there, but
oh, okay.
I think
okay.
You're wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Sure you do. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about anticipation. There are a couple of different plans. We got budgets. We got meetings. We got all kinds of stuff. Anticipation. How do we manage it? How do we do it? And how does the county understand that it might be successful? I don't know. Maybe Virginia does. We'll find out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Auguste Rodin. Nothing is a waste of time if you use the experience wisely.
It's true. Even things that don't turn out the way you like, you learn from it.
Yeah.
Not that you want it to fail.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I think that's probably the best Yul Brynner line ever. King and I. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Wasn't Seinfeld had the yada, yada, yada. Isn't that the kind of newer version?
I have never seen one of those shows.
Yeah, I never.
Friends? None of them.
I never saw Friends.
No.
Rarely see the other one, but I do recall this yada yada yada. So I think that's might
blah,
be the
blah,
new
et cetera. Yeah,
yeah, so.
Yeah, I just go with ish. Saves a little bit more effort.
I'll do that at the next ish. Board meeting.
When the county looks at a department, when the county looks at budget, when the county looks at any of these various things, that are part of planning. How do you guys and gals handle manage the anticipated expectations? This will take X amount of time. This will cost X amount of money. This will be done by this or that, or when the dominoes fall, this will be. How do you incorporate that variable into so many of the different projects and things that are worked on all the time?
Well, I think it's in a lot of ways just kind of a guesstimate. You know, a lot is based on prior experience. And even in that case, when you think you've, you know, got it nailed down to how long something should take or cost, sometimes it doesn't turn out that way. And I hate to use probably the best example, that general plan thing. But, you know, when it began, no one thought it would take as long as it has. And 3 years ago, I could probably speak for Supervisor Sundberg as well, we didn't think it'd take as long, but, you know, we want to do things a little differently. We have almost a completely new board, so it makes sense, but was that ever anticipated? And like you said, it's really hard. We have a great team in the CAO's office, and Phil really tries to give you the best case scenario, you know, the more likely scenario and the worst case on terms of, you know, timing and cost, and he's pretty good, but unanticipated
ish.
Things happen. Yeah, but ish, our new.
You've got now Kevin Hamlin is in, and I've had five or six folks in the last week talk about how things have really changed. The culture has, the embracing has of projects. he's doing what you guys were looking for him to do.
That really feels good too, just to let you know, to have something work out how we we're hoping.
Well, and he certainly was a known quantity also.
Yes.
Which helped to manage those expectations. With the general plan, that is on his plate.
One of many things.
Has that changed your expectations with the timing of, or the implementation of, or the sticking on the shelf of the general plan update?
I hadn't really thought about it that way. I think it's with Kevin on board, he's been very interactive with the board, and he and the rest of the staff, you know, obviously are hearing the concerns and the different direction coming from the board than maybe was in the past. And so I guess an answer to your question would be like...
But the past predated him.
Right, the past predated him, but what I'm saying is now that he's on board, we are taking more time to figure out what the board really wants, and Kevin has been really good at facilitating that and moving it forward. And so, you know, I don't know, your question is a little hard to pinpoint exactly. Let me
say it differently then.
Or maybe has an answer is hard to pinpoint.
Has it changed your expectations on the timeline of having an approved general plan because of either the lack of contentiousness now or perhaps the focus on getting it done?
You know, I'm already not thrilled that it's scheduled to go on through December, but I think there is a real desire, especially with
Hey, that's getting close.
I know.
That's going to be a tough one for you to pay off on, isn't it?
Oh, well, and it'll shift again. Unfortunately, that timeline. But the positive thing about the timeline shifting now is, you know, between the advocacy or the ad hoc group and the board and really talking these things out in our meetings, it makes sense if it takes a little longer, if staff goes back and helps us find a way to encapsulate what the majority of the board is asking for. And so I can see it going a little longer. Now, is that all Kevin? I can't say it's all Kevin. But I think he's really led the way to making sure that the staff really tries to understand what the board wants.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, the general plan, certainly a change of the helm. Things are going to take a while to come back up to speed. Yeah, okay, fine. I am looking forward to collecting on the bet and then making another bet, by the way, January 1st.
Was that soda, or what was the
beer for? Yeah, it was a six-pack of beverage,
Something. Yeah. All right.
But probably, yes, a soda or sparkling water is what I'm being told I need more of. less soda.
Got to take care of your health, we know.
I know, I'm now into the fruit juices. But that's not low-calorie either. Water has to be cold, cold,
cold,
cold,
cold. I pack this with me all the time because if I don't drink it.
Yeah, you drink something else. And yeah, and that has numbers under the calorie thing. Regardless.
We're going to have a talk, different kind of talk.
Yeah, the difference that the change in the planning department has had and then the culture in there, are you seeing other changes happening because of that through either different departments or interactions with the board or comments on the street? Is it serving kind of as a lightning rod for other departments to see and to learn from?
You know, that's a really good question, and I hadn't thought about it. I think the interactions between departments have improved. And that took some time because there were some, you know, it was a fairly major change, and people were used to doing things a certain way and dealing with certain people. And there took a little time for the trust factor to come into play. But I think it has been better. I don't hear specifics, but you can see how departments, you know, work together when they come to the board for specific items. The interactions with the city of Eureka especially, I think, has improved. And, of course, part of that could be that Kevin, you know, was with the city for so long.
He still remembers the handshakes.
Yeah, and yeah. There's relationships that are already there. But I think that helps lead the way. And it's been a positive experience. I'm sure there are some, you know, there are probably some folks within departments that are not seeing it yet as a positive. But I'm not hearing that. So I guess no news is good news on that front. And I will believe that we're moving forward, and it's been working out in a good way, I think, on many different levels.
Is there, or are there, if it's plural, other department heads that are appointed that are approaching retirement age? Are you looking at replacing another department head in the next little bit? Not that, you know, you're trying to force anybody out, but that another opportunity might present itself to kind of have some of the benefits of a new director?
You know, we are constantly looking at ways in the future that we might be able to, you know, gain efficiencies. And you're right, when someone leaves, it's a great time to look at it. I don't know of any right now that are on tap. Glenn Brown had retired, so we did combine public defender and alternate counsel. You know, with Kevin Robinson, you know, being the department head. And there's a few others, I would think, that are a couple of years out, but none that have been brought to our attention on, you know, this is an opportunity, maybe we want to look at how we can change that. But I think that every time, you know, that happens in the future, that's certainly something we're going to look at.
Is there, let's say you've got someone, me, 5 years from retirement.
I thought you were going to apply at the county.
Oh. And I have you as my boss?
Then you'd have many bosses.
Yeah, I know. That would be frightening for them as well as for myself. Yeah, it's break-even time. to develop a, make the determination who the replacement would be and use them as a, not as a co, but kind of allow the existing department head to mentor. So the new person wouldn't have to come up to speed on their own, kind of like what Jimmy and Rex kind of had versus what you and Bonnie had. I mean, two different approaches, two different styles, not that one's better or worse or any of that kind of stuff, but it would seem to me that there would be a chance if somebody's from outside the area to kind of get an understanding of what's going on and then be more efficient on that first day, either making changes that they might want to or knowing that they didn't need to make changes and not wasting time when there's the only person, the ultimate decision maker, while they're also trying to build up their educational knowledge.
Interesting concept. Most of the time when someone retires, you can't even start looking for their replacement. You know, you pick a period of time.
Interim this, interim that.
Yeah, but there are opportunities to bring people back as like a retired annuitant for a period of time
Is that the Dan Moody syndrome?
Yeah, well, that's funny. I was there. I remember when Dan retired, and he's still there somehow. Yeah. And I
City of Eureka, for folks who don't know, he's got all kinds of knowledge, and he's all, you know, every time I see him, he's out there teaching a crowd of four or five about something, or you know, it's cool to have that legacy. But a lot of folks will relocate out of the area too, so that's not an option for many of these situations.
Well, and I think under the best case scenario, and if you're bringing someone in who's maybe from within the department, they do have the chance to gain that knowledge. Certainly a great idea. You got to get someone to want to do it.
Oh boy, now I'm going to have a tough time getting out of the studio. Okay.
That is a great idea.
Big head, yeah, big head.
Oh, thanks.
It's 3:30.
I'll work on that.
An unprecedented savings event is going on now at Burns Furniture. The Serta iComfort Triple Bonus. Bonus 1, save up to $400 on a Serta adjustable foundation. Bonus 2, receive a free iComfort 2-in-1 mattress protector up to a $159 retail value. And bonus 3, receive 2 free iComfort scrunch pillows when you buy a Sealy iComfort or iSeries mattress. Catch the Serta Triple Bonus before it goes away at Burns Furniture, 5th and G.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Well, sort of, because she actually left town on us, so we're recording this in advance.
Oh, you're telling. Well, at least you're letting them know ahead of time.
Yes. And a lot of times, Virginia, conferences, conventions, things of that nature, to me, are no-brainers. You go, you learn, you come back. I've never seen a convention. Wait, let me restate that. I've never participated in a convention where socializing and getting faced were the primary goals. I know that's the case for some. They go and they golf, and you know they may attend 2 hours, and it's a paid vacation. I don't sense that there's a lot of folks that do that, or those who might have historically don't do that anymore because there's too much on the line. When you are considering going to a conference, how do you know if it's a time well spent, if it's investment well spent, or if it's something to consider perhaps having passed on the next one?
Well, this conference is actually one that I haven't been to before, and it's a CSAC legislative conference. So I can probably answer that better even when I come back. What I expect is, you know, part of it's the great opportunity to network with other county officials. And this year in specific, we're all pretty much very unhappy with the realignment that's been going on and the fact that there are more things that the governor wants to do and have counties be in charge of. There's monies that the governor wants to take back. And it's just like, well, wait a minute, you're making us do all this stuff and you're not giving us the resources. So this is a great opportunity to, you know,
if you're going to be in Sacramento?
Yeah, we're going to be in Sacramento.
March on the Capitol.
March on the Capitol. We, you know, the hard
he's
thing.
He's not that big a guy. You can take him down.
We can. And, you know, when you get a bunch of angry supervisors together.
I know what you were going to say. Angry women. No, I know. No. I heard the pause.
There are a lot of women supervisors. You know, maybe someone will actually listen. But, you know, this is a real good opportunity to basically find that we're all in the same place, but what are the different counties doing to help combat it? Because this AB 109 has reached a boiling point here, the realignment. We have neighborhoods that are just being totally inundated with petty crimes.
Well, and Merle talked a little bit about it earlier in the month, Merle Harpham, the police chief in Eureka, that there seems to be now an understanding in Sacramento, whoops.
Yeah.
So perhaps there's a window of opportunity associated with this week's gathering down there, budget coming up. I guess they're saying that statewide the economy is starting to look a little less worse. Okay. And so maybe they can reinstitute some of these things or at least make things more equitable for those of us who are the law abiders rather than the parasitic segment of the community.
Yeah, you know, and I think the frustrating thing, Sheriff Downey was just at a conference, and they had this whole, and it was down in there. They actually went in and had a discussion with Brown, and the frustrating thing is the legislators get it. There's 20 bills apparently that are pending that are trying to fix some portion of this, the realignment bill, but, you know, he's very stubborn. There was a report saying realignment's not affecting crime. Well, maybe those folks aren't the one who are reoffending, but I'll tell you, the jails are full of people that used to be in prison but are now in our jail, and the real problem is that people who can't get in our jail, and they just keep repeat offending.
Yeah, Merle said, Eureka, I think the crime rate, was it last year or in the last four quarters, is up 38%?
Yeah, it's. I was in a neighborhood watch meeting last night, and it was interesting. They are bringing some monies forward. He said there was $24 million for local cities to try to deal with the situation. And he said,
and how many cities?
How much do you think Humboldt County, Humboldt County got for all of them? Actually, yeah, it was like 120,000.
Well, it got pretty close.
And so, you know, what we're going to do with that, between the city, the chiefs, is, goodness, you got me off track here. The Chiefs Association, they're going to hopefully get a database that's, you know, you can track throughout the state who the frequent flyers are, basically. And those are the ones that maybe there's a way to focus on them and get them actually in the jail. If they're there for 24 hours and actually have to be in front of a judge, then we can implement monitoring on them. If they don't get to that far in the process, they're just cited and released, we can't even, you know, monitor them. So there are ways to try to help control, but it all takes money. And
really?
We're all
so it takes
out
a 24-hour incarceration?
24 or 48. There's a period of time, and they have to have an arraignment.
There's got to be some kind of temporary housing with all of the vacant buildings we have and some of the portable things. There's got to be some way, because you're not – my understanding is if you knocked out a couple dozen of these characters – all of a sudden, things start to look a lot more normal. So it wouldn't have to be huge amounts of space, huge amounts of time, or huge amounts of people monitoring these guys.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this last night, and one of the problems is, you know, because we do have a lot of vacant buildings, there's a lot of vacant schools, and they were actually looking at the Jacobs area, but they found, and there were some monies available to the state, but they actually found that getting any of these schools up to code, you know, because Title 15 makes, you know, someone at our meeting was saying, why do they live in, you know, these great conditions? Can't you just, you know, pack them in the room? Can't you take away the TVs? Can't you cut the cost? Can't you put them, you know, in the camps over here? And it's just like, we're governed by different rules than other states. And that would make sense that we do that, but there's a lot more restrictions than you'd like to think.
Nice try. It's kind of what it boiled down to, huh?
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:42. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, you guys did something that kind of seems like a time-honored tradition, passing on a raise.
Passing on to who? Did you
passing on a raise? Passing on a raise. Okay. No.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, I figured you did. But you know, it's the last segment, so you're gonna try to mess with me as much as possible.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I try.
I find it curious. Not that you guys passed on it. I get that part. But the staff recommended you take it.
I think just like that item that came forward, it was triggered by the other bargaining units getting their increases. And so,
okay, great. But why the recommendation?
I think that's just kind of the standard recommendation that comes from those negotiation types of processes. And all of us, it was amazing, you know, you don't know this until you get into the meeting, but you find out every one of us was going to personnel going, why is this coming up now? You know, this isn't something I'm interested in.
You kidding me?
And yeah. So it's I think it's just in practice how those recommendations come forward.
Now, I had heard a comment on the street, and let me know if this one was close, is that the recommendation was made because if you guys took a salary increase of a percent, then everybody else through the ladder who's connected to in one way or the other also would receive a 2% increase.
Actually, I think you're thinking of the kind of Me Too deal, but it's not. The others already did get the increase. So, yeah, if we had taken it, we were just kind of like the tail end.
Well,
and
you know,
all of us, or,
yeah, and you guys
know.
Have been referenced as being in that, you know, part of the dog anatomy also, haven't you?
And it amazes me the phone calls with no names, no number. And this one person, I recognize her name, and I can find her phone number, and I really would like to call her back.
Why not?
But it was like, how dare you take this raise? And I'm thinking,
this was before you guys voted?
Yes. And do you think we got a call back later that said, oh, thank you for not taking it? Nope.
Oh, I would call her back just out
I'm tempted.
I would. You're just, well, hi. Hey, was that you on the phone last week?
Did you?
Yeah. Were you
Did
pleased you know what happened? Didn't hear back from you.
Yeah.
Oh, I would. Just let him know that every once in a while somebody's listening to those things.
Well, and it's like we do listen. And I think we had a great conversation on, you know, like Rex runs out of his travel budget so quickly. He's going to Petrolia. He's going everywhere. So in some
I suggested a segue, by the way. He didn't
that would
really
be a
he did not embrace that one. Yeah.
Well, you know,
but you can remind him that, you know, that might be an option for him, but maybe a little better mileage.
Maybe we'll get a joint one that we can all use in town.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, in some cases it would have made sense, you know, for someone to have.
I think for a lot of folks, they would be surprised to know that gas in county comes out of a travel budget. I mean, you think travel, you're thinking the conventions.
Right.
You're thinking of things that are not just the day-to-day zip around stuff.
We do actually, and if you look at it, most of us do actually very little as far as the traveling to conventions. So most of the travel budget is spent going to
gas
you know,
money.
Meetings, things that you need to do. Yeah. And obviously I don't spend that much because my district is, you know, small.
You can walk to it.
I can walk to most things. But you know, there is an amount of it. But
now, is there a difference? I mean, I would like to think that Rex and Ryan's travel, and I guess Estelle too, would be significant in contrast to you and Mark. Not because of the players, but because of the district.
You know, it's right now it's they're even, and I think part of the reason that's the case is if someone is, say, like I'm the CSAC representative, so in theory I should be able to go to some of these events.
But that's different.
But that comes from that comes.
Don't you guys get it broken out and say, okay, here's your gas money?
No,
it's just the normal in county, and then here's I wouldn't say extracurricular, but let's say extra meeting in. And break that out?
No, there's like a lump sum, and out of that comes like conference registration, even though not considered travel, you know, hotel mileage or however you get there. Then there's also an out-of-county
What about
travel.
Department heads? Do they have
That's a different
broken
world.
Broken out?
I don't know.
Because I'm thinking
sure
it would be
how
parallel.
It's broken out, but they do a lot more. They go to trainings. Health and Human Services people are gone all the time in, you know, various conferences. In fact, Supervisor Sundberg is currently on the, he's at a NACO conference.
NATO conference?
NACO, sorry. Yes, he's at NATO now. It's the National Association of Counties.
Oh.
And he's in Phoenix. He called this morning. He said, actually,
it's hot.
Yeah, he didn't say that. He said a workshop was hot. Actually, he said he went to the best workshop he's ever been to in his life. And that's what comes out of conferences. And it was about, he said it was about civility, but he said he just, yeah, I was going, well, bring that information back. But he said he said it shifted what he's always thought about. And because, you know, the basic premise was, you know, if you're going to be a good, you know, leader or, you know, someone on a committee, you have to be willing to seriously set aside what you have as your beliefs. And we know that we try to do that, but it's really hard to listen when you carry your
baggage,
bias, yeah, you know, so far in front of you. So I don't know how you get to that place, but he's going to bring back the information. And
well, hopefully he knows how to come back from that place also.
Money well spent. Yes, yeah. Well, we hope.
You got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy your conference.
Well, I just hope all the planes work on time.
There you go. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug some of you. See you tomorrow.